technically, particularly when it comes to Lego. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to disassemble these two Lego guys. And you can see the first guy is a scuba diver. He's all red and black. The second guy's an astronaut. I'm really happy Logan's not up here. He would not be happy about this. And what I want you to do is I want you to assemble those guys in their proper order. Do you think you can do it? Okay, well, let's see if we can make this a little harder for you. If you took off your glasses, fold those up, put those on the table beside you. Now, do you think you could do it? All right, go for it. Well, actually, just before you do, one more thing we want to just get out here. Let's see how much of a master builder you truly are. Now, once again, Ethan had no knowledge that this was coming this morning until probably about 2 minutes before the service. Now, Ethan, can you see anything? All right. So you know what? We're just going to... All right. So I want you to assemble these two guys in their proper form. And while he is working away on that, we're going to look a little bit and speak a little bit about our series over these next coming weeks. As we look into what it means to follow Jesus, as we look at what it is to follow his great commission and his commandments for us, we know that there's an aspect of building that we need to do. Building particularly something that we don't always see. Our faith is focused on building the kingdom. And sometimes, within the work that we do, there's not a whole lot of physical evidence for the things that we've done or the things that the Lord is seeking for us to do. Because we are actually in the business of changing hearts, not geography. We're not landscapers or construction workers where at the end of the day we can point and say, that's what I did. But the Lord leads us and works in our hearts and in the hearts of those around us in a way that the changes that we make sometimes are very subtle in the world that around us. Sometimes they're very obvious and blatant, but a lot of the time, there's no physical way to see from the outside what it is that the Lord is doing or what has actually happened. And sometimes following the Lord feels a little bit like groping around in the dark. You've got a rough idea of maybe what you're supposed to be doing, but things change. Pieces move. And sometimes, where you think you've got it all figured out, you don't, until you do. When we look at what the kingdom is, Scripture gives us a whole lot of examples, a whole lot of verses about what the kingdom is, and I've combined a couple for you here, and Ethan, you may take off your blindfold and see if you were successful. Success. Thank you very much, Ethan. You can go grab a seat. Scripture tells us about the kingdom. It says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. For the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. The kingdom is like a man who scatters grain. The kingdom is like a hidden treasure. The kingdom is like a merchant looking for pearls, like a gracious host, like a mustard seed. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and of joy in the Holy Spirit. Thieves nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Each and every one of us, having been made in God's image, have certain attributes, certain desires that are built into who we are as humans, to be in relationship with one another, to grow, to learn, the even fact that we even are able to comprehend that there is a Lord above us is because we were designed in his image. And in that, he has created us to be builders. He has created us with this creative desire in our hearts to make things. Now, whether that comes out in card making or baking or construction or painted signs or houses or music, whatever it is. Part of how we were designed to exist is to make things that weren't already there before. Now, Ethan, I gotta say, did a fantastic job here, and I didn't necessarily think he would do quite that well. But even though he got the right pieces in the right places, I doubt you can see this, but the heads are still on backwards. Even when we do things and accomplish things for the work of the Lord, sometimes what we make is not always what we expected it to look like after. But that doesn't mean what the Lord is leading us to craft is any different than what He intended it to be. When we look at why we need to be builders, why this aspect of creating is so important for us being made in God's image, we really come to one simple truth. The fact that Christianity depends on builders. Christianity has always, since the first person who followed Jesus, been a faith based on a choice. Some religions you can be born into, and because your parents were, therefore you are also. But Christianity is not a hereditary condition that can be inherited. You can't be born a Christian. Christianity has always been a religion of conversions. Jesus said, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentiles. And even when we looked at who they reached out to, who their audience was in sharing the truth of Jesus, everyone had a religion. Everyone had an existing belief system and structure that they were a part of. And even if you weren't subscribed to something of an organized religion, you were therefore called a pagan, which meant a unassociated worldview. A farmer, a Joe Schmo, someone who didn't know enough or have enough of a connection to anything. So even if you didn't have some type of connection, you always were connected to something, some way of looking at the world. And in those days, it was all about getting the dad of the family. If you can get the dad of the family to commit his life, then everyone in the household will follow suit. Wife, kids, servants. If you manage to get a father to come to a saving grace in knowledge in Jesus, his household would follow him in suit. And therefore, you really only had one place that your ministry really needed to focus on. But that, unfortunately, isn't the case much anymore. Children growing up are taught for themselves at a very, very young age to decide what is fact and what is not. And they're taught that that can be as subjective as you want it to be. What's okay for you may not be okay for someone else. Even parents' belief systems don't always shape the children that grow up in their household. Your parents' beliefs do not guarantee that you will come to a certain place and follow a certain lifestyle. Sometimes parenting and what a children becomes is in spite or in blessing of. But the younger generation that is growing up more and more has this higher sense of understanding of what I think is what is. And in that sense, it's not as easy as just getting one family member and the rest will follow the model of Jesus. But everything that we do needs to speak to all people, at all ages, at all stages, in all scenario. And we have no guarantee that anyone will follow Jesus of their own choice. Now some of us, and I know some of us in this church here, came to that place themselves, where the Lord showed himself to them and they were overcome by the presence and amazing truth of who Jesus was and made that decision personally and very much on their own. But not all of us think like that. Not all of us are wired to process in that way. And in that sense, Christianity will not replenish itself without the help of those who follow Jesus. Now the Lord, once again, is well within his power to snap his fingers and everyone know the truth and everyone fall under his rulership. But that's not at any point how he created us to live. That's not at any point how he wanted us to make decisions in life. Even in the garden, he always gave a choice of not himself to those who were there. We each have a part to play. And even Jesus, within his ministry, within his work, within what he taught and shaped and educated, he was pretty explicit that we all had a responsibility to the kingdom of God. Now, once again, we are not left alone by ourselves to accomplish this of our own strengths and volitions. But we are to build it through the work of the Holy Spirit. As Scripture says, that one will come after me, John said. A counselor, an advocate. One who will be here long after I go. And Jesus echoed those same claims for us. That at no point were we ever expected, by our own skill sets and of our own abilities, to accomplish the work that God has given for us. We are actually in a place where we have been empowered, encouraged, equipped to do this work, if only we would use the resources that God has made for us, made available to us. We actually have, and Scripture is very clear on this, everything we need to accomplish what God has set for us and to be successful in it. Now, it's important to remember that the success that Scripture speaks of is not based off someone else's decision. So my success is not determined by trying to get Robert to follow Jesus. My success is determined by whether or not I follow what the Lord has asked me to say and speak in that relationship. And it's the Holy Spirit's work that works in his heart and his life. That in that sense, sometimes we measure our own abilities and how good we are at following Jesus by the amount of people we have saved, by the amount of people that have come to church because we went to church and invited them, or how many people that we have helped them grow in their relationship with God. But the only thing that the Lord ever phrased for us to measure ourselves by is the following of the instruction that he has given to us. We have a responsibility to do this evangelistic work, to build relationships, to build the kingdom of God around us. Jesus frames this for us in the Great Commission and Great Commandments. And we need to remind ourselves that following Jesus is not about a card-carrying society where you subscribe to certain beliefs and that guarantees you membership. We have to remember that it's not by paying our fees and going to club meetings that the Lord is honored. God is honored when we seek to do his will and what he has asked of us. And these things, going to church, reading our Bible, praying, they do not guarantee a healthy relationship with God. I've seen people go to the gym and spend 3 hours working out and they literally have barely done anything positive for their body. And sometimes we experience seasons like that too, where we're going through the motions, where we're seeking to do what we think God wants of us, and we're not quite on the right page of what he's actually trying to show and tell us. But this aspect of being a builder, of creating, it all comes to fulfillment. It all comes to its perfect designed setting when we are faithful and following the example of Jesus himself. There's actually tons that we can do in the kingdom. So many different opportunities that each and every one of you have that I don't, that were crafted for you specifically. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 9, and I think the truth of that is so entirely, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That the work of the Holy Spirit, that the work of sharing truth of Jesus, is actually entirely ongoing. It's never something that we accomplish and are able to check off. And a part of that ministry, a part of that sharing of truth is to invite people into the presence of Jesus Christ, to expose them to these opportunities. One of my favorite stories in Scripture is of the friends who bring their paralyzed friend and they take apart the roof to lower him down to Jesus' feet. They disrupt or cause public disturbances. They do vandalism. They interrupt a meeting going on. All because they believed within the core of their heart that being at Jesus' feet was the place to be. And if anything was ever going to happen for their friend, that's where healing would truly come. In Jesus' presence. I always tell students that you don't have to be the one to convert your friend. That's not what we want you to do in every conversation we have. We want you to create for them opportunities where they have to hear the truth of the gospel. When it comes to retreats, concerts, conferences, even regular youth nights, the only responsibility you have is to get them in the room and to step back to see what the Lord does in that moment. Leave all the hard evangelism, the scary terms and concepts to someone who has a greater ability than you do. And if you have that opportunity to follow that up after the fact, then it's a journey you take with them. But if we measure ourselves by the boxes that we think we have to tick and the things that we think we have to accomplish, then it only makes the goal that much farther away for us. Because it's in the presence of Jesus that real change happens. It's in the presence of Jesus that hearts are healed from wounds, from brokenness. I don't know about you, but that's something that I don't have the power to do. But only through the Holy Spirit and Christ who gives me strength. So the question becomes, if we don't take this responsibility, this vocation, this call that Jesus has made on us to build the kingdom, if we don't take it seriously and make it a central part of who we are, what happens? Well, I think the truth is we already know what happens. We see the reality all around us each and every day. I Googled around trying to find a statistic for how many Canadians are evangelicals, and the number I found was 12%, and I thought to myself, that probably seems a little high, 12 out of 20. But the truth is, within our North American context, the church is shrinking. Churches are closing left, right, and center. And North America and Europe are actually no longer the epicenters in terms of how many Christians there are. It's actually the East, Asia, it's actually South America, where there are more people there who follow Jesus than there are in Canada, in the United States, in Europe. And in light of these changes, the field that Jesus talks about, the harvest that is actually ready for us, is bigger than it actually ever has been before. The opportunity that we have to share Jesus is at its most available than it ever has been. So what becomes the measure of our success? We talked a little bit about this earlier. Question of how do we measure our success, and one of the ways that we as North American churches do it most often is numbers. And that makes me really uncomfortable. Some of you will hear when I say numbers being the measure of success, think it's about attendance. It's about numbers of people within our programs. But that's the farthest thing that Jesus ever looked at within his ministries. Jesus wanted an audience, if he wanted to get a high number of people to listen to his teaching, he would have started not with 12 people, with 200. He would have gone to the temples where there's already people who would sit and listen to him all day long. Youth pastors actually live, I don't know if you know this, in constant fear of losing their jobs if the youth groups that they have don't measure up to a certain bar that is either stated or unstated within a church's ministry. When we look for numbers, there's actually something that we should look for. There's actually something that we can look for and count as being the thing to have. And how many of these have we made? The number that we should be seeking to have is the number of opportunities to spend time in the presence of Jesus. How many spiritual events are happening within the lives of the people that we know? How many first-time decisions? How many baptisms? How many rededications of their lives? How many sins have been conquered or addictions have been broken free from? These are the things that Jesus sought to do. This is why he went to the broken, those in need, those who were struggling. Because those are the real marks of success within the kingdom. The Lord seeks for us to follow willingly and to lead by example. But Scripture says heaven rejoices when someone repents and turns to the Lord. So the question becomes, when we talk about baptisms, our tradition of a public declaration of faith, when we talk about first-time decisions or rededications, how many of these do we see within our church community? How many of these can you think of in your life that you have had the opportunity to speak and be a part of? Not saying you're the one that got them across the starting line or gave them that first sinner's prayer. But how many times do we hear stories about the amazing things that God is doing? And how often have we been listening to the Lord's leading close enough and allowed ourselves to be a part of that? Our strategy for reaching those who are not currently a part of the community of Jesus is going to be different than it ever has been. It needs to be. Our strategy of how we seek to share the truth of Jesus will naturally evolve. And I'm going to say the C word that no one wants me to say, but change. When I say change, I don't mean that it's time to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And all too many times when we say the word change in churches, that's just this idea that we all get. That what we have was broken, therefore we don't do it anymore, therefore we're going to find the next best thing. But you look at the way in which our technology around us has changed. You look at the way in which speakers have changed and their strategies of speaking. You look in the way in which media has changed in how we communicate something. If we did it the way we'd done it 80 years ago, no one would be listening. And not to say that the world around us is the measure of how to speak the truth of Jesus Christ, because it's not. But the younger generations, me from my grandparents, I think very differently than they do. I'm wired differently. The students that we have as a part of our ministries today, they think very differently than I do. And we need to find new ways of speaking that connect to those who, regardless of age, who are not already presently part of this community. As things change in churches, once again, we don't have to disregard the history and tradition that we've come from. But we need to understand that it may not always look the same way it did before, or it may not be at the same time that we're used to having it. We can always find the places for the things that are important to us. We as believers, I think, can be mature enough and confident enough in our love for one another that if there's something important to you, that I will ensure that you have that opportunity. But as we seek to replenish this church with believers who are not presently here, they're going to have different things that the Lord has made important to them in their faith journey. They're going to have new traditions that become central of a part of how they understand God that are different than things that we have ever done. The tradition of whatever it is that you find important, central, encouraging, building, or strengthening for you in your life, I want to let you know that we can keep it. Whether that be music or a certain style of prayer or a certain medium of message, we can keep it, but we will also have to learn to do things differently. Because if we don't, then in 10, 5, 2 years, we will be smaller than we are today. The older I get, the more I realize that this, right now, in this moment, is the prime of my life. When I turned, I think it was 28, I started hating birthdays, hating it, because I was officially older than my sister was when she died. It's a strange thing to be older than your older sibling, as I know some of you have probably had that. And because of that, I struggled with getting older, thinking that back in those early 20s, that's where life really happened, and that it's all going to be just lower, different than it was before. But the older I get, the more I realize that now is the prime of my life, because it is now, because it is today, because the Lord is working and shaping in me in such a way that I am hopefully smarter than I was yesterday and more in tune with Jesus Christ and His example for my life. And in that sense, the older I get, although my body may not work the way I want it to or it once did, the older I get, although my circles may shrink in terms of those who I know and those who are in them, the more I need to take hold of the fact of this is the place the Lord has placed me. And I am more capable now than I ever have been of doing what it is He is trying to lead Sam Barry to. With the time that I have left in my life, whether it be a week or 65 years, I will seek to honor God and to do the work that He has left for me. The work that He is continuing to show me that I don't already know about. So the question becomes, what in your life, with the time that you have left, will you allow the Lord to do through you? And I say that whether you're 14 or 400, the Lord has something for you. He has something unique and amazing and prepared. He has something that will serve helping those who do not know Jesus come to know Him, maybe for the first time, maybe for the second, or maybe for the ninth. So how will you allow the Lord to use you? Over these next few months, we're going to be exploring the concept of being kingdom builders, of strategies and opportunities and purposes, of looking at Scripture, at the way in which Jesus did it, to go and be and speak to those in need. We're going to be looking at the ways in which Scripture shows us of how to follow the calling that God has made and what that looks like within our lives. Not just here as a part of the fellowship, but out there where we are on our own.
with the help of the Holy Spirit. We'll explore strategies, we'll explore principles. And the hope and deep desire that we have as a leadership is that we will seek to grow, not by sheep stealing from other churches, but that we can be a place that new people can come and they can meet Jesus. That we won't be a hindrance for them or a distraction or an obstacle between someone who is hurt and needs the Lord. And that we can do the Lord's work to help facilitate those opportunities. That we don't have to have every answer. We don't have to be prepared with every single concept or answer. But that we be like that group of friends who knew the presence of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ was the place where real healing happens. And that we can live up to what God has asked us by bringing those who are in a place where they need it to hear the truth and message of Jesus Christ. The Lord gives us opportunities each and every day to grow, to strengthen ourselves, to build and continue to shape the spiritual landscape around us. And He has given us all the tools and resources we require to be successful and to follow the leading that the Lord has given each and every one of us. The Lord seeks for us to build. He seeks to partner with us. How will you use the time that you have to honor God and reach farther for His kingdom? Let's pray. Dear Father God, You have given us so many different things, but You give to us in an abundance, to a measure in which is bigger and more deep than we could ever hope for. Father God, we pray that You remove the barriers that we have inside our hearts, the obstacles, the self-doubt, the things that we allow ourselves to hold us back from being Your agents within this world. Lord, we, each and every one of us, we want to see Your kingdom grow. We want to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus for the first time and again and again and again. Show us as a church and as individuals where You want us to go. And to the best of our ability and faith in You, we will go. These things we know, once again, that You are already at work and it's just up to us to open our hearts clearly enough to hear the way in which You're speaking. These things we give to You in Your name. Amen.